During the news there, I had an opportunity to go run back to my office, and I thought about putting in another piece of that Nathan and Sons TikTok gum. But you're not supposed to chew gum while you're on the radio. So I thought I'll just wait until after the show. But, you know, the flavor kind of runs out after a couple minutes anyway, so maybe you don't need to chew it for that long. If you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, but you've been on TikTok, maybe you've seen the guy selling that, like, the remineralizing gum. He, like, mixes it up in his kitchen, and it's got all kind of saps and minerals and stuff in it. I went ahead and bought a case of that, and I got to tell you, it's very delicious. And there was somebody on the text line earlier that said there's, like, 0.002 of a gram of, what do you say? 0.002, I guess that's thousandths, isn't it? Yeah. 0.002 of grams of cocaine in every piece? And that's why I can't stop eating it, LOL. I don't know if the texter's right about that. I didn't see cocaine on the ingredient list for that gum. I'm not out here trying to chew cocaine gum. No, not me. Whack. But I gotta say, the gum is very tasty. And I'm asking now, if you've ever bought any product on TikTok, they've always got some weird stuff on TikTok. You know, some of it looks a little more useful. Some of it's like this kind of off-brand Chinese stuff that you're like, I don't really know who's going to buy that. But, you know, there it is. Like I said in the last hour, if you want to go back and hear everything I had to sort of expound upon in the last hour about how we got here to this political moment 1 week before Election Day, you can do that on the Odyssey app. You can download that and rewind it, or you can go to WWL.com. You can also rewind there, or at WWL.com, you can download that audio and share it. I'm made to understand that it's already published, right, Coleman?
Yes.
Okay, great. So Coleman's done his part. It'll probably hit the homepage in a few moments if it hasn't already. Speaking of elections, I want to remind you, we have a really great election coverage show here on WWL 1 week from tonight. We all have a vote. We want you to make yours count. Today is the last day of early voting. Get out there and do it if you haven't already. If not now, make plans to do so on Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th, 7 days from today. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Dave Cohen, Newell Norman, and our friend John Cuvion from JMC Analytics and Polling. They're going to be joining us for Decision 2024. We'll start at 8 o'clock and go until we can't go no more. I'm going to do the news bomb in a minute, but I do want to clear out some of these phone calls. Let's start with Bob on the North Shore. Bob, you're on the air. Good afternoon. Bob, you there?
Bottom.
There he is. Oh, sorry, Bob. We didn't get you on until just a second ago. Say again.
Okay, I just wanted to give you kudos. Everything you said was spot on, but more importantly, it was the truth. And for Republicans listening, that is multiple inconvenient truth. But I warn you that you just put your name on Trump's enemies from within list, and to me, that's the ultimate compliment, but also a very real threat. I would love to put my name on the same list.
Well, Bob, I hope you're wrong about the enemies list. I mean, I'm not in a state of like disbelief that there is that list being drawn up. I mean, we already know that some of the sort of universe of conservative think tanks and organizations are drawing up a list of government employees that they want to see gone as soon as Trump takes office. I hope they're not making a similar list for people in the media, because, like, hey, we're all here to do, just like the John F. Kennedy quote that I read at the end of the spiel there. You know, it's like, are we really afraid of ideas that are unfamiliar or philosophies that are alien? That's not what this country is supposed to be, so let's not make it that, right?
Yes, absolutely true. And you brought up John F. Kennedy. I'm 82 years old, retired Army officer, and John F. Kennedy was my first vote.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But I also voted for Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Uh-huh.
I kicked myself in the ass all the way to the mailbox every day over that. But
well, you don't always know how it's going to turn out, Bob. I mean, I think we've all voted, for somebody that maybe wasn't our first choice, or we voted across the aisle for the person we thought was going to be the best candidate in that election. I know I've done that. And sometimes that bet pays off, and sometimes it doesn't. But, hey, don't beat yourself up over it.
Well, I filed an absentee ballot because I was in Vietnam at the time. And when you're ass deep in alligators, it just takes one. And Nixon was telling me that he was going to get us out of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And eventually that happened. I left Vietnam in April of 1973.
Mm-hmm. Good. But glad we got you back.
I, when you started your spiel, I was sitting here on the porch drinking a cup of coffee, and I couldn't pull myself away. And I thank you so much for your diligence and your honesty.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's good to have you in the audience, and thank you for your service in Vietnam. Really appreciate you top to bottom, side to side. Let's go to Gregory in Metairie, who's back today. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, man, that was very entertaining. You have the gift for oratory, but a little bit of platitudes, too.
Well, thank you very
Come
much.
Come on, man.
What?
Yeah, well,
you think it was platitudes? Okay.
You know.
Go ahead.
You know I like you, but we are diametrically opposed in our feelings about this. And you didn't mention, like, at the very end of your tirade, I call it a tirade. I thought it was brilliant.
That's fine.
I mean, you very articulate, very, very well focused. But you waited to the very end to say, one of them is untested and might not be competent. And we know one is tested, but he's totally incompetent. I thought that was a little wrong. And then, why would you bring up St. Rush Limbaugh? You know, I guess you didn't listen to him. You know, for 15 or 16 years, I was a subscriber to Rush 24/7. So I couldn't always listen to his show during the workday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to it at night, and you could always go to it. It was a great website. It was a great, you know, thing. If you really listen to Rush, he wasn't evil at all. I mean, he was a conservative for sure.
I didn't say he was evil.
But, well, you kind of put him in there with Tucker Carlson, and who I know you don't like. I happen to like Tucker. I think he got a raw deal. There's a lot of shenanigans going on both sides. We know this. But, you know, what amazes me, and you got into the Bertha thing, because it was sketchy. There was a lot of unknown facts about Obama's origins because his father was a non-present guy, and he was known to be like a radical socialist Kenyan, and he was and Obama was raised by two white women, his grandmother and his mother. I mean, there was kind of shenanigans going on there, but no, leave that alone. I really enjoyed your whole thing. I know. I mean, you have your opinions, and that you know, and they're valid. Just as mine are. But leave Rush Limbaugh alone. I mean, this guy, he did so much for America that people don't even know because he was kind of like a silent guy in the back. He was very much a philanthropist.
I do know he was a philanthropist.
He cared about,
I do know that.
Yes, yeah, very much so. And he was a failure in so many things in his life until he got back to radio and he really sparked the AM, you know, talk radio movement.
Yeah.
And for good reason because people wanted to hear his message.
Yeah. Well, listen, Greg, I gotta step away in a second, so let me pause you there. But I love that you called, and thank you for your kind words. I don't think we're diametrically opposed, at least on most things. There might be some things, you know, that I said last hour that you really disagree with. But, you know, at the risk of sounding kind of trite, I think we have more in common than we have not in common. But let me say this about Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, to that extent, Tucker and Sean and everybody else, because I never used the word evil with any of those people. That's not something I'm just going to hand out. But the point that I was trying to make in this context is that I think those people did a disservice to Republicans. To, you know, just salt of the earth, God fearing, family loving, America loving Republicans. They did a disservice to them by creating every single Democrat in the country out to be this boogeyman. And so that you've never got an opportunity to kind of call balls and strikes between Republicans and Democrats, because the Democrats are always, always the enemy. And that wins you some elections, yeah. But it also creates an opportunity for hucksters and charlatans and snake oil salesmen to come in Republican clothing, and they don't ever have to really be held accountable for the fact that they don't have good ideas, or they don't have a record of serving Republican, or they don't have a record of upholding conservative values and ideas, because they know that they're now playing in a space where they're going to get unconditional support from those people I just mentioned, like Rush Limbaugh and Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. I would never call those people evil. The point I was trying to make last hour in trying to explain how I think that we got to this moment is that they hurt Republicans over the long term. And I know that sounds insane because Republicans love those people. But if I can just offer, an alternate theory, you don't have to like it. You don't have to repeat it. But, you know, that's where it is. Let's take one more, Coleman, and then we'll step away. Let's go to Ronnie in Algiers real quick. Ronnie, you're in the afternoon. You're on the afternoon. Good air.
Hey, Ian. First time caller, always. I called a few times trying to catch a scoop. But, time ran out. I want to commend you, too, Ian. We need more of that kind of dialogue and openness about what is really going on.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Ronnie. Was there one thing in particular that kind of stood out to you that maybe you hadn't heard before that's going to stick with you when you lay your head on the pillow tonight?
Well, what I first would like to say, I was real sad when I heard woke up yesterday morning and heard that he had passed because the first time I met him, it was at the birth of my firstborn. I don't know whether or not it was his firstborn, but he had a daughter, and my daughter was born like 15 minutes apart at Gerald Smith Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And I was in the birthing room. You know, it would come along during that time when women wanted, you know, the man to be. And I didn't want to be there, but, you know, that was the trend. So, but after the birth, Eric Paulson and I stood side by side at this window looking into the nursery where they took the babies and stuff. And, you know, you looked at him. And, you know, we talked and I knew he was, on television and stuff. I knew who I was talking to, but the guy was so down to earth and so.
Yeah.
You know, so, and everybody that I've seen on television talking about him, he really was a good guy. You know, and he really going to be missed.
Yeah, I never had the I never had the privilege of meeting him in person, but I like to think I have a good radar for this sort of thing, and I'll certainly take the word from Ms. Gibson and Peyton and Sheba and everybody that worked with him at WWL TV. Everything they've had to say on social media is just glowing. So we'll just keep him in our thoughts and our prayers and his family and his loved ones as well. Thank you so much, Ronnie. We'll step away here and we'll come back and we'll do the news bomb. I'll try and keep it kind of speedy so I can get back to more of your calls and text messages. You want to get in touch? It's 504-260-1870. I will also remind you that the California Psychics, the whistling jingle, Ian Ozan gave me some information in the kitchen yesterday that really baked my noodle, and I cannot wait to share this information with you about the California Psychics song. Just as a little preview, it is not a California Psychics original. That little whistling tune has been with us for about 50 or 60 years, so I'll tell you more about that in just a little while here. I'm Ian Hoke, sitting in for Scoot. Be right back after this. Stick around. 225 here on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. A lot of people on the text line still asking how they can hear my little kind of rant from last hour. Let's see if that popped up on the front page here yet. I know Coleman hit publish, so let's see if it's actually populated. If you don't have time to go poke around on our website right now, that's okay. I'll try and text it back to you as soon as that link becomes available. As Spud used to say, damn, this thing's slower than road home money. Okay, no, it hasn't populated yet, so I'll let you know when that pops up. I thank you, everybody, for your patience. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to get to you as fast as I can, but we got to take care of some business. We got to do the news bomb.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
If Trump's cringy rally at Madison Square Garden has had any negative impact on his campaign, he doesn't seem to want to admit it.
Donald Trump is celebrating his weekend rally at Madison Square Garden, one that was marked by crude and racist insults. Trump says there's never been an event so beautiful.
An absolute love fest, and it was my honor to be involved.
He's also used love fest to describe the Capitol riot. Speaking today at his Florida resort, Trump did not mention the event's racist comments about Latinos, Jews, Palestinians, or black people, nor sexual insults against Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton, nor this.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Comedian Tony Hinchcliffe's remarks stirred anger among Puerto Ricans in several battleground states. The Trump campaign distanced itself from the joke, but not the other comments. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
You know, anytime Donald Trump is like the center of attention, he calls it a love fest. I mean, January 6th was the love fest. The Madison Square Garden rally was a love fest. This man could be attacked by a pack of rabid chihuahuas trying to bite off pieces of his arms, his legs, while everyone looks on in horror. And the next morning, he'd be on Fox and Friends out here telling us there was a love fest. Now, Coleman said something to me, which I thought was really funny. Do you just want to tell the joke, or should I?
No, I got conflated because he uses the word love fest the way he uses freak off.
So freak
I
off.
It sounded like the same thing. Like, yeah, we had a love fest. What I envisioned in my brain was
If he was calling the Madison Square Garden rally a freak off, I would hope that his advisors would be like, X-nay on the eek off fray. Hey, there's plenty of available reporting that despite what Trump has to say about it, not everybody in the campaign is real pleased about what happened on Sunday.
There is a sense of frustration within the Trump campaign about the potential fallout from that Madison Square Garden rally. The former president didn't bring it up in his remarks last night here in Atlanta, but many are watching to see if he addresses it today in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is home to Pennsylvania's Latino Belt.
And reading from Politico here, Danielle Alvarez, a senior advisor to the Trump campaign, said Sunday that the joke does not reflect the views of President Trump or the campaign. And another Trump advisor said that those speaker's remarks were not vetted prior to the rally. Okay, I'll take you at your word, but seems weird. Key Republican lawmakers in Florida, New York, and other states that have large Puerto Rico populations, they quickly denounced the comments, saying it does not reflect Republican Party values. I think these are the last people in the country to realize that Trump is not speaking for the Republican Party values. He's speaking for himself. Get the net, y'all. J.D. Vance is out here running interference for the Trump campaign.
Kamala Harris releasing an online ad in battleground states targeting Puerto Rican voters and highlighting remarks by comedian Tony Hinchcliffe made at Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden rally Sunday that Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage. Trump's vice presidential pick, Senator J.D. Vance, was asked about the insult during an appearance in Wisconsin Monday.
Maybe it's a stupid racist joke, as you said. Maybe it's not. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the joke. But I think that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it.
The Trump campaign did distance itself from the remarks, which drew wide condemnation and highlighted the rising power of a key Latino group, especially in swing states, as well as an endorsement for Harris from Puerto Rican music star Bad Bunny. I'm Julie Walker.
Now, the Kamala Harris campaign, on the other end of things, they got a lift in the Midwest swing states from a former First Lady of the United States.
Trump also opened up a new line of attack against former First Lady Michelle Obama.
Let us not forget the incompetence and the corruption, the chaos that was the cornerstone of his entire 4 years in office.
Who stumped with Harris in Michigan over the weekend.
You know what's nasty to me? Michelle Obama. She was nasty. Ooh. Shouldn't be that way. That was a big mistake that she made.
And former First Lady Michelle Obama will be here in Atlanta later today. She is headlining a star-studded rally and concert aimed at getting out the vote.
Michelle Obama. Okay. I mean, I thought, I don't know. I guess he's the only person who doesn't like Michelle Obama. Kamala Harris has her own big splashy rally planned for tonight in Washington, D.C.
Kamala Harris will encourage Americans to visualize their futures tonight as she delivers her campaign's closing argument. From the ellipse with the White House in sight, Harris will ask the nation to imagine Donald Trump again in the Oval Office, focused on himself.
Working on his enemies list.
She'd do something different.
I will be working on behalf of the American people on my to-do list.
Harris will stand on the spot where Trump rallied supporters before the 2021 Capitol riot, but her campaign says she'll focus less on that and more on her plans to move the nation forward. Trump says she has none, and America's had enough of her after 4 years.
A total train wreck who is
destroyed everything in her path. She's destroyed everything.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
So Kamala Harris is giving a speech at the Ellipse tonight. That is, you know, if you didn't catch it, that's the same place that Trump gave his speech on January 6th before he turned everybody around. So the Kamala Harris crowd that is going to see her speak, are they going to storm the Capitol after the speech? I don't think so. It seems unlikely. But if they did, it'd probably be with fewer, you know, Nazi flags and fewer cans of bear spray, fewer organized militia groups. And if they did go, they'd probably see the wisdom in just taking the stairs instead of trying to scale the walls like they're in a real life version of Assassin's Creed, D.C. A crucial group of voters in a crucial swing state are pondering their choice between Harris, Trump, or nobody.
The nation's largest Arab-American community is in Michigan, where Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have been campaigning hard. Muslim-majority cities like Dearborn have voted overwhelmingly Democratic in recent elections, but now say they won't back Harris due to the U.S.'s support of Israel in the Middle East conflict. Dearborn Heights Mayor Bill Bazzi.
This is the reason why I support and I endorse President Trump, because we are going to make... We're going to stop the wars.
But Assad Turfy, one of the few Arab-American officials in Michigan to endorse Harris, thinks she'll get the vote.
Donald Trump created an environment that was not good for us. There was a lot of hate. It was okay to talk about people that look like me.
4 years ago, President Biden won by a 3-1 margin in Dearborn, where nearly half the residents are of Arab descent. I'm Julie Walker.
And in yet another swing state, guess who's back on the stump?
I'm Bruce Springsteen, and I'm here today to support Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And to oppose Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. I want a president who reveres the Constitution, who does not threaten but wants to protect and guide our great democracy, who believes in the rule of law and the peaceful transfer of power, who will fight for women's rights, a woman's right to choose.
In the nation's Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, a handful of voters have figured, hey, if you can't beat them, burn them.
Elections officials are reaching out to voters whose ballots may have been damaged in recent fires that were deliberately set. In Vancouver, Washington.
A call in the early morning hours to 911 indicating that there was smoking and a fire at one of our ballot boxes.
Interim Police Chief Troy Price on K2TV says some 300 ballots were destroyed, similar to a fire that destroyed three ballots in Portland, Oregon. Police say that they believe it's the work of the same person, and they've identified a car that appears to have been involved. Oregon officials were able to ID the three people whose ballots burned there and are working to reassure others.
We really just want to acknowledge the heightened emotion around this event as we build up to the election.
Assistant Police Chief Amanda McMillan. I'm Jackie Quinn.
If you're one of those people in Washington or Oregon that set those ballot boxes on fire, you about to lose your J-O-B and probably go to jail, because, friends, that is a federal crime. On the Okunrad Jewelers Talk and Text line, there's a question here that says, for those citizens whose ballots were burned, do they get to cast a second ballot, or are those votes lost? Thank goodness those votes are not lost. Reading now from FastCompany.com, who's quoting ABC News 47, states offer free ballot tracking services. This allows a voter to track the status of their ballot and to make sure it was received and counted. So, you know, if you went and put your ballot in a Dropbox, you can go log in and see, did it make it to the next phase? And if it didn't, then you know it was destroyed and it wasn't counted. So they track these ballots at every point, from the time they're mailed out to the voters, to the time they hit the box, to the time they get to the vote counting facility, to the time that they're actually cast. It's a pretty secure system. Now, let's see, what else? Oh, this is fun. For the first time in 4 months, Steve Bannon got his first taste of freedom, but the honeymoon might not last for long.
Steve Bannon has been released from federal prison in Danbury, Connecticut, after serving a 4-month sentence on 2 counts of contempt of Congress. And just a week before the election, is taking back the helm of War Room, his right-wing podcast. Reporting for prison back on July 1st, Bannon referred to himself as a political prisoner.
I'm proud of going to prison.
He left the facility before dawn and was greeted by his daughter. The New York Times reports that in an interview before his release, he said, "I'm not broken, I'm empowered," and predicted a bitter legal battle after Election Day. Asked if he thought it had been worth going to prison to not testify before Congress, he said 1,000%. A jury convicted the Trump ally in 2022 for defying a subpoena from the House committee investigating January 6th and for refusing to provide documents related to efforts to overturn Donald Trump's loss in the 2020 presidential race. Bannon faces another trial this December in New York for fraud, money laundering, and other charges. He allegedly scammed people who donated to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm Jennifer King.
Yeah, let's just remember that for a second. Steve Bannon and his buddies, they raised millions of dollars from small dollar donors. If not you, probably somebody you know, to build the wall, the border wall, using private money. But they were indicted in 2020 on fraud charges. They were accused of using some of that money for personal expenses, despite promising that all the funds would go towards building the wall. This dude is a scam artist. He's a scam artist. He's a snake oil salesman. He's a huckster. He's a shyster. And in all likelihood, he's going to have to figure out a way to sell multivitamins and Patriot buckets from prison. Hey, look, maybe you're not feeling good about the election. Most of us really aren't. But the numbers suggest you might be feeling better about the economy.
American consumers are feeling quite a bit more confident this month as Election Day approaches. That's according to the business research group, the Conference Board. Its consumer confidence index jumped to 108.7 in October from 99.2 in September, the biggest monthly gain since March of 2021. Analysts had forecast a more modest reading. The Consumer Confidence Index measures both Americans' assessment of current economic conditions and their outlook for the next 6 months. The measure of Americans' short-term expectations for income, business, and the job market jumped to 89.1. The Conference Board says a reading under 80 can signal a potential recession in the near future. I'm Julie Walker.
All right, we'll stop there. I do see a lot of people on hold. I promise I'm going to get to you as quickly as I can. I'm going to step away and take care of some business so we're not too jammed up. And I also do want to remind you, when we come out of this break, I'm going to give you some information about the California Psychics jingle that you probably don't know. Ian Ozan told me about this yesterday. Got to give credit where that is due. Ian figured this out for us. We were in the kitchen yesterday, and he was whistling it. And I said, isn't it funny that everybody's whistling that all the time? And he says that he had actually kind of done his own research and figured out something about the California Psychics jingle that really made me smile. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll get to your calls and texts on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talkin' Text Line, 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke sitting in for Scoot. BRB. On the Oakland Art Jewelers Talkin' Text Line, here's a text message that says, Tones of Home. Enthusiastic about my selection of Blind Melon for bumper music tonight. Song so nice, we played it twice. But what I really wanted to do here is play a song called Bubba Dub Bassa. Bubba Dub Bassa, which is fun to say and fun to listen to. It's by a man named Robbie Poitavant. That's still Blind Melon. Did I screw this up? What are you doing? There it is. Is your world clouded with doubt? We fire 98% of the psychics before we even hire them. Okay, so you've heard this a billion times before in the California Psychics commercials, but this is actually not like a commercial jingle that was just written by an advertising agency for California Psychics. This is a published piece of music. Ian Ozan let me know about this. This is a song by Robbie Poitavant. It was composed for an Italian film called Bubba Dub Bassa way back in the 1960s. The song is Bubba Dub Bassa. The movie is called AD3, Operazione Squalo Blanco, which in English is Operation White Shark. Operazione Squalo Bianco, which based on its IMDb page, the movie appears to be a knockoff of the James Bond series. Yeah, they were huge in Italy. Like in the 50s and 60s, they loved making knockoff films from other countries and just like pretending that it was from Italy.
Yeah, when you pull it up, it even has the James Bond-esque cover. The guy has like the little spy looking
guy. It looks
guy
like the little
machine
guy from Octopussy with the
little
dart.
It actually does.
I know my James Bond. So, yeah, and then a listener also a couple months ago told me that they heard this in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I was like, no way. that's impossible, because I thought it was just a California psychic song. But no, it's Bubba Dub Bassa by Robbie Poitavin. Available wherever music is listened to. I found it on Spotify.
Which reminds me, I have to get my free reading to change my life.
Yeah, you turn this stuff around, man. Your career is in the toilet, Coleman.
Yeah, how could you tell? Was it the fact that I botched the songs like 8 times coming in?
How many times are you going to make us listen to Blind Melon? No, I'm just kidding. Love you, bud. Apparently, it was also used in an episode of Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and also was reportedly spotted in an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So next time you hear the California Psychics commercial, pour one out for Robbie Poitavin, because he'd be making $1 billion right now if he's not still with us. Let's go take some phone calls here. I see Tom in Houma. You're on the air. Tom, good afternoon. Tom? Well, let's put Tom on hold and come back to him in a minute.
Sounds like he was jogging.
Yeah, is he jogging? He's going out for a run. He's getting some exercise. Irvin and Hammond, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing today?
I think we're both trying to weather this last week before the elections.
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping and assuming that only 25% to 30% of the population is radicals on both sides, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
So for the 70% of us, we need for this election to be split. Whoever wins the presidency, we need the other party to control both or either chamber of the Congress. And I say this because, Mr. Trump, I don't want you to control both chambers of the Congress, because even though I hate paying taxes, I don't believe in tax cuts when you're running deficits mm-hmm. that are going to be transferred to our children and grandchildren. I don't want to see huge tariffs on inbound products, because mm-hmm. most of those products we do not produce here.
Mm-hmm.
So those tariffs are going to really become a tax on the consumer.
Oh, Irvin, I'm so glad you point that out, because in all the conversation that we have about tariffs, maybe people don't really realize tariffs are not a tax on foreign countries or foreign companies. That's a tax on Americans. That's it. That's the whole alpha and omega of what a tariff is. That's Americans paying more money, more tax money.
And it's going to be inflationary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Continuing, Mr. Trump, I don't want you to control both the House and the Senate, because it's going to be a nightmare to round up 8 to 10 million people, although I would like criminals to be rounded up,
mm-hmm.
and trying to transport them back to their country. Now, on the other side, Ms. Harris, I don't want you to control both chambers of the Congress. First of all, I think the student forgiveness loan is wrong. It's wrong to the kids that just graduated from high school and kids that just went to trade school. It's not right for those of us that paid and worked to complete our college degrees and have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to be able to give $6,000 to firstborn children, because I think it'll encourage unnecessary pregnancy. If you can't afford to have a child.
Now, okay, Irvin, I got to pause you there. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure we have time. You can keep him on. Listen, I want to make sure we understand what that $6,000 is. That is a tax credit for people who yeah. want to have their first child. So not only do you have to decide that you want to have a child, and then you have to actually go do all the tax paperwork to get the, it's not like you're going to get a debit card in the mail that has $6,000 on it. I can't imagine there's anybody in this country that says, I'm going to have a child for the first time just so I can get that $6,000 tax credit. What a terrible reason to have a kid. What a bad idea, right? Nobody's going to do that.
I'll agree with that, but it is coming out the U.S. Treasury. And some people do have that thought process. Just to continue,
well, they're going to have a cold awakening, a rude awakening when they find out how much more than $6,000 it is to raise a kid, right?
Right, and just going on, $25,000 to first time home buyers. Yes, if they're qualified, but that's why we got the housing bubble back in 2008. We were spitting out loans to people who could not afford it. You know, we thought Section 8 housing was going to solve the homeless problem, but what it did, it developed slum landlords. It took people who had a few units that allowed them to buy more units to become Section 8 landlords. So it really created more problems than it solved. Mm-hmm. The last thing I'll say about for Ms. Harris is, you know, you think you're going to attack the rich and tax them. They're rich because they have the best tax accountants and lawyers. Yeah. If you go after that money pile, they're smart enough to get their money overseas to the Bahamas, Switzerland, you know, in those accounts. Also, if you tax investments, you're going to encourage people to, again, send business abroad. People with money are smart, and they're going to figure a way to get around that. So I'm going to end this by saying I think the country will be better off if we have a split executive in Congress and do a reset for 4 years and then come back in the next election, hopefully with some better candidates on both sides so we can proceed with the progress in our nation. I'll give it to you.
Great. Thank you very much, Irvin. Appreciate that. Always nice to hear from you. I guess I don't totally disagree with your idea, like it's best if we have a divided government. That sounds great on paper, because then, you know, whoever is the president, you know, probably doesn't get to roll out their entire agenda. There's a sort of check on their excesses. But the way things are right now with Congress and, you know, Donald Trump and all of those people being the way they are, it also means it's going to be very difficult to just get routine things done, like just routine spending packages. And I know some people don't like routine spending packages, and they would prefer the chaos and uncertainty that comes with the constant threat of a government shutdown. I don't think that's great for the economy. That's not great for our national psyche. So I totally take your point. You would hope that Congress could always be a check on the executive. But I think more often than not, certainly as we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years, Congress is more than a check. They are a straight up obstacle to good governance. So we'll have to just see what happens. All right, we'll step away here and come back. I'll see if I can squeeze in a couple more phone calls.
Is this the right song? Did I do it right this time?
Which one is this? I don't know. I pulled my list down. Yes, I'm glad you did not attempt once again to play Blind
Imagine
Melon.
Imagine if we had a Tuesday text dog.
Good Lord. Yeah, which one of these exact same versions of Blind Melon do you like better? Text A or B. We'll be right back on WWL. Coming up at 3:25, I'm going to talk to Dr. Patrick Porter about how doom scrolling can be damaging for your brain. You know, when you stay up all night just scrolling through your phone, looking at bad news on social media. Yeah, we should probably stop doing that, or at least find a way to do it that isn't so bad for our mental health. I'll read a couple texts here real quick. Here's one that says, why did you ever talk about Harris? Talking about never answering direct questions after she speaks, I have no idea what she says. She's not the most effective communicator sometimes in a, you know, unplanned media environment. And if you don't understand what she says, that could be because she didn't make sense. But you should also allow for the possibility that you just did not understand it. Here's a text that says, hey, I got to the radio as you were going to break. I didn't get into the subject per se. I'm hoping today that people will find reasons to be grateful and even see the good in others. I know there are some ugly things being said in memes and political ads and talk shows, but there is so much good and so much to be grateful for. And I love this text message. I think that's exactly right. We got 1 week left of the election. It's going to be very easy for us to all go to our respective corners and look over our shoulders and stare daggers at the other folks. But it'd be probably a better use of our time and our time on planet Earth to find the good in each other and find reasons to come together and be grateful for our shared values. We'll be back right after this. Here's the news.